Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so that we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Okay, this question is from Emmanuel. He has a question about heaven. So, Micah, what is Emmanuel's question?
Is there going to be rain in heaven?
In the Bible, rain is mentioned in about 89 verses.
89? Did you count them all?
Yes.
Wow.
It can be a good thing or a bad thing. Most often, rain is a good thing because it helps plants grow and gives us water to drink. But if there is too much rain, like during the flood, it can be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So will there be rain in heaven? And what about the new earth? The Bible doesn't really tell us.
Man!
But there are two verses that might provide a clue as to how God will provide water.
Okay, well, let's look those up.
All right, so if you have your Bibles, the first verse is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10.
All right, Genesis, first book in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 10. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Aiden, what does that say?
A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers.
The second verse is found in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2.
Wow, so now we're going to the opposite end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. All right, so we were in Genesis, and now we're going to Revelation, the very back of the book of Revelation. What does that say?
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves on the tree were for the healing of the nations.
So here we find in these two verses that in the Garden of Eden, God used a river to water the garden. Once it went through the Garden of Eden, it divided and became four rivers. In Revelation 22, we find that there's also a river in the New Jerusalem.
So there was a river that God created when he created the world, right? And then you're saying that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a river in heaven.
That's right. It may be that the same way God watered the Garden of Eden, he will also water the New Jerusalem and the New Earth as well. Which is using a river.
Yeah.
Will there be rain too? We'll have to wait and find out.
Here we go again. Another question to ask God when he comes. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? Thanks so much, Emmanuel, for that question. I'm glad that you're thinking about heaven and planning to be there. You know, at the end of the year, in about December, we are going to talk about heaven and look at a bunch of Bible verses going over what heaven is going to be like. So I hope you'll stick around when we do those studies. We're so glad you joined us today. If you want to find more programs and activities, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. Don't forget to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. I want to read Psalm 94:16. It says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" There's a very good possibility that this was the verse that inspired the dying words of Reverend Dudley Ting. He wanted to encourage people, and that is you, boys and girls, to stand up for Jesus. Stand up against injustices that are around us. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
We are starting a four-part story. We're going to go through this story for the rest of the week. But before we do, I want to play a guessing game with you. Okay? Are you ready? I am going to give you some clues, and I want you to tell me what story it is in the Bible. Are you ready? There was a man who was in the temple, and someone appeared to him. Do you know that story? He was an older gentleman, and he was a priest. Can you guess it? Zechariah and the angel appearing to him, telling him that they would have a baby boy and they were to name him John. Okay, here's another one. An angel appeared to a woman and she ran and told her husband. Well, then the angel appeared to both the husband and the wife and gave them some very special instructions about how they were to live. Do you know the story? Manoah and his wife, and the angel appeared and told them that they were going to have a baby, and that baby was Samson. And there were some very special rules that they had, that they couldn't eat certain things and they couldn't drink certain things, so that Samson would be strong and healthy and a mighty powerful worker for God. All right, here's another one. An angel appeared to her and gave her some instructions. And she said, "Let it be to me as you have said." She didn't argue. She didn't make excuses. She accepted God's will and his plan, and she did it gracefully and humbly. Do you know that story? Mary! Yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the angel appeared to her. All right, here's our last one. This man was hiding in a wine press, but he was threshing his grain. An angel appeared to him and gave him some instructions for what he was to do. The angel called him a mighty man of valor. Do you know who that man was? It was Gideon, and the angel appearing to him and telling him to go and fight the Midianites. And Gideon gave some excuses, and he was a little hesitant, and he had to put out some fleeces, but he ended up going, and God made a mighty, powerful miracle, all because of Gideon and his faithfulness to God. Well, the story that we're going to learn about today is about a man, and he was a soldier, and an angel appeared to him. But before I tell you any more, we're going to pause and pray that God's Spirit will be with us. Lord, we want to ask that you will give us your Spirit so that we can learn what you want us to learn today. We love you. Amen. In the city of Caesarea, it was about 30 miles north of Joppa, which is where Peter had been last time. Remember, we learned about Peter raising Dorcas from the dead. She lived in Joppa, right? Well, this is about 30 miles north in a city called Caesarea. Can you say Caesarea? Caesarea. There was an important Roman centurion named Cornelius. This centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. Have you ever heard of centimeters? That's 100 centimeters make 1 meter. Have you ever heard of a century? That means 100 years. Well, a centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. Cornelius had been born into a heathen home. So, of course, his mother and father, they didn't believe in God. But Cornelius had heard about God, and when he grew up, he and his family worshiped the true God. He prayed each and every day. He asked God to be with him and to help him. Cornelius was very wealthy. He was rich, but he was not selfish. He helped many poor people, and everyone respected him. Now, how do I know this? Because the Bible tells me so, and that's what we're going to see today. I want you to get your Bible. If you have a Bible near you, if you don't have your own Bible, maybe see if you can get one. Or until then, you can read maybe your parents' or your grandparents' Bible. See if there's a Bible in your house. We're going to read Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Now, last quarter, we learned the books of the New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Well, Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. You have the Bible that's divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're in the New Testament, starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we're going to be in Acts. Once we get to Acts, then you're going to look at chapter 10. And once you find chapter 10, then we're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. So it's right there where the big chapter 10 is. If you need a little more time, just press pause, and then when you're ready, you can press play again. We're going to read Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generous to the people and prayed to God always.
This gives us a lot of clues about this man, Cornelius. He was a centurion. He lived in Caesarea. His name was Cornelius. He was a devout man. He feared God. He gave alms, which is like money, generously to people, and he prayed to God always. Wow, this sounds like a really godly man, doesn't it? Well, even though Cornelius loved and worshiped God, he was not a member of the synagogue. Well, why is that? Well, the reason why was because the leaders of the synagogue where he lived probably didn't want people of other races or other ethnic backgrounds to worship with them. They were what we call prejudiced. They called people who were not Jews, Gentiles. Even if they worshiped the true God, they were still considered a Gentile, and the Jews wanted nothing to do with Gentiles. They thought that by being around a Gentile or touching a Gentile, they would become impure. Cornelius knew that the prophets had said that the Messiah would come, and he was eager for that to happen. He hadn't heard the truth about Jesus, so he didn't know that the Messiah had already come. But Jesus knew about Cornelius, and Jesus wanted Cornelius to know about him. Well, suddenly, while Cornelius was praying one afternoon around 3 p.m., an angel appeared and called him by name. Whoa, look at verse 3. That angel called him by name. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. This is what it says.
About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly of a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius.
How would you have felt if you were Cornelius and all of a sudden an angel appeared and called your name? Maybe they said Josh, or maybe they said Aubrey, or maybe they said Chloe, or maybe they said Jess, or maybe they said Gerald, or possibly Tim, or Jason. What would you have felt? How would you have responded? I think I would be a little scared. It's like, whoa, who are you? Where'd you come from? You just like appeared. Well, that is how Cornelius felt. But we're going to find out a little bit more about that next time. There are so many places in the Bible where angels appear to different people, where they give them a message from God. That's what an angel is. It's a messenger from God to us. Boys and girls, you never know, but you might meet an angel. You might run into an angel. Maybe God will send you a very special message by an angel. I want to challenge you to think of how many different places in the Bible angels appeared to men. You could write down some of the ones that we went over at the beginning of this lesson, like Zechariah and Manoah and his wife and Mary and Gideon. But there's others. There's Joseph. There's Abraham. There's many others. I want you to maybe talk together with your family and see how many different instances you can think of where an angel appeared to someone in the Bible. Can you do that? And then next time, we're going to find out what happened to Cornelius next and what Peter has to do with any of it. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for God to go with us today as we work and play and in our school and in all that we do, that He will be with us. Lord, we want to pray for your love and your care for others. We want to pray for a clean heart, a new spirit that you will put within us. You've promised you would, and we're claiming that promise and asking you to do it in our hearts today. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Acts 10:34 and 35.
God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.